Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome my panel of guests. Let's head over to actually Nawaz Haq from Salnox Company or Group. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do.
Hi there, everybody. I am an executive director at Salnox, and really what I'm here to do is to highlight the fact that we have this wonderful technology, pull the pieces together and ensure that industry know about its capabilities and very powerful capabilities indeed for to address both greenhouse gases emissions and pollution, and to increase and push the meaning of all this on a policy front if possible. And I am actually sitting at the IMO. You'll probably see the badge in the back, as part of the interstitial working group here in the lead up to the MEPC80 here. So again, as wide as possible, because I think we can have huge impact where we need it. So that's a bit about a lot about me, what I wish to do in this makeup.
Welcome. Let's head over to Jimmy Reedman. Tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Thank you. I've been with the Salnox project from the very beginning. As I said, everybody, it's all my fault. I did all the original development work on the chemistry and then all the later refinement and development of the new products and so on. And I have an unusual background. I started life as a pit rat at a GP. And I think for the first 5 years of my life, I didn't spend more than 2 years in one two weeks in one country, following my father as he traveled the world racing what's now MotoGP. My path into doing the chemistry was initially through printing chemistry. I had mentors that taught me there. Printing chemistry works on the basis that oil and water don't mix, but there's times you want them to mix, in which case you'd need emulsions and emulsifiers to do that. And that's where my understanding of emulsifiers and emulsion technology started. And then applied that essentially to what's now the fuel. Looked first at emulsified fuels. I read an article one day that folks had been working on since the First and Second World Wars and hadn't quite got the stability issue sorted out, and serendipitously managed to solve that problem. So we can now create indefinitely stable emulsions with fuel. The world had in the meantime moved on from looking at emulsions as a solution to improving emissions on combustion engine. And so I got asked the question, how can we get the benefits of emulsions without deliberately adding water to the fuel? So we went another route, basically put in a surrogate for the water. And interestingly, we are getting better results than we ever did with emulsions. So we've moved on from that, from emulsified fuels. But with the emulsifier still being at the heart of the new product, when the product encounters water, condensate water that's continually finding its way into the fuel, it helps deal with it and remove it from the fuel and the fuel system by emulsifying it into the fuel and taking it through to be consumed by the engine. And at the same time, treating it as an ally, not an enemy, because you get benefits from having that water safely and securely emulsified into the fuel. The other benefits, we add lubricity to the fuel to help look after the engines and the conditions of pumps and injectors and so on. We have our detergents, the strong detergents that are in there, help clean up the fuel supply system. They also help decarbonize inside the combustion chain and help what's now become the biggest problem, especially on the most recent engines that have exhaust gas recirculation, particulate filters, and selective catalytic reduction. In other words, the AdBlue systems, your diesel particulate filters, and so on, where they have terrible problems because of soot buildup, which is essentially incompletely burned fuel. So it's wasted fuel that's going out the exhaust. And with us getting that fuel to burn more completely, you're now harvesting that lost energy and putting it to useful work within the engine itself.
I can't say I completely understand it all, but I applaud you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things is people don't quite understand a lot of the science that goes into it. They just want to know, how much is it going to cost? Is it going to do what it needs to be done? Is it going to help our vessel create more efficiency with the fuel in our vessel? And is it going to help us head towards net zero? That's really, I guess, the basics of any question that anybody is asking in the yachting industry or boating industry.
Yeah. I love when people ask that question, because our experience in all the problem solving that the product does, in other words, you're keeping your tanks clean, you're keeping your fuel system clean, you're keeping your combustion chambers and your exhausts clean, and you're dealing with all these issues of water getting into your fuel through condensation and contamination occasionally. And so you basically save the cost of the product back in maintenance savings. And then because of the efficiency you're gaining by harvesting that fuel and putting it back in, plus the savings and the lubricity improvements helping with friction losses internal in the engine, you're getting benefits there as well. And these pile up on top of each other. So you now have multiple savings from fuel savings as well. So you save and save again.
And I guess the great thing about this is that it's not just for the maritime industry. This is pretty much straight across the board. It can be utilized, correct?
It's essentially for all combustion of all liquid hydrocarbon fuels. And that applies not only to internal combustion engines and all types of them. So in other words, it doesn't matter whether it's a small engine like a chainsaw. It doesn't matter whether it's two-stroke or four-stroke like your car or like your big yacht. Or it doesn't matter that it's an enormous two-stroke that's in a container ship. So it applies to all of the above. We're also finding very interesting results in burners. So that's purely the combustion of fuel in an open flame for heating. So we're finding what works in terms of encouraging more complete burn of the fuel applies to an open flame as well as it does to a contained flame.
It's interesting because I know that the WEF in May, they have this actual huge proposal on how to cut down the carbon emissions into the air, and that is by eliminating 75% of personal vehicles around the world by 2050. So if this kind of product is able to do what you say it does, perhaps that isn't something that they even need to be looking at.
I think Anita can speak better on this for me. We're seeing amazing results in our recent results with Superyacht Yella, which are extraordinary, and Anita can expound more on how extraordinary that is. But the gaseous emissions, we're going to be studying more to get a firmer grip of what we're doing on those as well.
Sounds really exciting, Anita. Tell me, Anita Bradshaw, actually, tell me a little bit about yourself and what your position is here.
So I'm the chief executive and one of the founders of Green Sea Guard. And we were founded in 2014 to look at maritime emissions specifically. But since that time, we've been looking at a variety of engines in a variety of settings. And we came into the Sulnox sphere of influence last year when we started looking at actually a couple of yachts that they were looking to treat with these additives. So earlier this year, we did some second round of tests on the yacht Yella, as Jimmy just mentioned. And we came across these really extraordinary results. I've seen a lot of different additives over the last 9 years in my business, but never one that's done as much as the Sulnox additive has done. So literally the safest place in the harbor where this yacht was moored was actually where the exhausts were coming out, because there were fewer particulates there than anywhere else around, and fewer particulates that we see on a good day in any metropolitan center. In fact, the sorts of levels we were looking at were, I could only compare them to little villages up in the Alps where the air is really quite clean. So absolutely remarkable results, because this particular yacht had quite a problem, apparently, with black carbon at the start. And we saw some very high numbers to start off with. So we're taking away basically more than 99% of the additives after a few months treatment with the Sulnox.
Wow, that's great results. And that's something that I think more and more people should be looking at, because it almost seems as if the yachting and the superyacht industry is, I think somebody, and I can't quote the person because that wouldn't be very nice, but somebody told me yachting takes its own time and does things in its own time. And I felt like saying, you may think you're big and important, but the world as a whole doesn't necessarily think you're big and important. So you could take your time as you wish, but the world isn't going to wait for you. Craig Morris, how are you? And give us a bit of your history and what you're doing here today.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. Basically, I've always been involved in trying to develop businesses, new ideas. And a funny story, the last 6 years I've been in the south of France dealing with yachts. And I was on a yacht 2.5 years ago. And I've known Jimmy for quite a number of years, and I've watched how Solmox has evolved. And the one question that the captain said to me, we were standing on the off deck and with the engineer, and they started up because they were going to move. And there was this big black plume of smoke. And they jokingly said to me, Craig, can you solve this problem? Because I solved some other problems for them with other products that I do. And I said, funny you should say that. I can. And then I started talking to Jimmy, and then things started developing from that. And so it's taken a good few years to do a lot of groundwork and knocking on doors to get people's attention. And with Yella and a couple of other yachts, we found Mark, the captain of Yella. He's like a sort of a pioneer. He likes to explore new things, and he gave us the opportunity. And we've seen these amazing results. And I think the industry needs to know about it. And the thing is, everybody's looking for the silver bullet. How can we reduce our emissions? And there's so many different ideas and options. And a lot of those things could be 10 or 20 years away in development. And it could be like a yacht, and they've got to do a complete modification that's going to cost them a lot of money. And Solox is not the total solution, but it's something that you can start using today. And you'll start seeing results in a month or two or three, which if you wanted to document them, we can engage somebody like Anita. You are independent. They operate independently, and they can show you the numbers. The test that we're going to do now, because on Yella, it was just particular, because their problem was the carbon buildup on the hull from the generators. When they're in at anchor in hotel mode, the generators are running and you get this oily film with the lumps of, and any person involved in yachting will hear what I'm saying, because it's a common problem and they don't know how to deal with it. So I said, let's give it a go. So he asked that, can we do it as scientifically as possible, but just on the particulate? So that's what we did, and we've got the results. But the next vessel that I'm busy talking to, we're going to be doing all the gases and the particulates. And with that information, it's like going for a full medical, because then you know exactly where the problems are, and Anita can identify issues that, based on those readings, she can identify where you have problems. And she can do that on a small vessel or a big container ship or tanker. So it's exciting times.
Let me ask you, Anita, if somebody is interested in trying out this product, are those facts and figures available for them to take a look at as the idea of what they can expect to achieve?
The Solnox guys have gone to the press with these. So there's a press release out there which sets out the case. And of course, we're adding to that case with every ship that we look at. And we have a pretty large database already. So I can tell you it's, in my opinion, it's very unlikely that this is a flash in the pan of any sort. I think we're going to find repeats of these results, no matter what sorts of ships we look at and no matter what sort of fuels we look at, because of the way in which the testing went with the Yella. We have thousands of databases already. Say, adding, delighted to share that in some detail with anybody that comes along. Absolutely.
Nice. Now, let me ask you, you are currently at the IMO there, and you are quite involved in different sort of groups there. what is the feeling? Because I know the IMO is very focused on shipping and the maritime industry as a whole. Why is it that the superyacht industry seems to think that it is somewhere way out there that has nothing to do with current standards in the IMO, that what happens with the IMO doesn't necessarily apply to them? It just seems like there's this complete blockage within the industry that it doesn't matter what legislation is out there, what rules, regulations, laws, legalities, they don't think it applies to them. Is that IMO going to be coming to the superyacht industry and saying, you know, what goes on here and it applies to the maritime industry, you may think you're special, but it applies equally to you?
Thanks. Simple answer here is the main concern has been to push the decarbonizing agenda across mostly ocean-going vessels and really where the bulk of the problems are. And when you're looking at smaller vessels, leisure vessels, and it may be hovercraft and fishing vessels, etc., I think there's less focus generally. However, that the responsibility lies on everybody. And just going back to the yachting sector, if you think about this, frankly speaking, I think it's probably a well-known thing that most people involved in the yachting sector, I'm talking about owners, etc., are relatively wealthy. And it's also known, as you throughout the world, wealthy people generally have a higher emittance of emissions, that they consume more, they drive bigger cars, fly planes, etc. And you're right, I think they're often, because it's a numbers game, that there's not as many of those people, but they fly under the radar. But it's not right, I guess. Everyone should be responsible. To come on to put into perspective the results that we have here with ANITA and other results, take the air pollution matter. So air pollution currently kills 8.7 million people globally from this very incomplete combustion of fossil fuels that Jimmy had touched on. And it costs the global economy over $8 trillion. Now, this result alone tells you, well, we can actually more or less pack a real punch to those figures. And everybody who's involved in emitting emissions and pollution really should play their part. And we've got the scalable solution that can do it. And perhaps going back to the yachting sector, perhaps those people who do have such a high pollution tag on their head, like pollution and emissions tag on their head, should be leading actually by example. So this may be an opportunity for the yachting sector to say, we're the small guys in the grand scheme of things. However, look how we're cleaning up. We finally can possibly have a say. And let me tell you, from a regulatory front, the IMO's ambitions, that's the whole point of MEPC 80. It's all the countries discussing how to improve their ambitions through what they call it, MEPC 80, their greenhouse strategy here. And I think that really that message, I can't say what it's going to be. Discussions haven't concluded. And even if there were, I couldn't say it at the moment. The message is there's certainly a stronger push for the maritime industry at large to align to Paris targets, to immediately reduce emissions, etc., and pollution. So I think the yachting industry has a unique opportunity to show what they can do. To be honest, we've got the case studies there to show it. And to answer your initial question, in high-level terms, people just want to know, is it going to save us money? Is it going to reduce our emissions, etc., without all the science? Very simply, the answer to all those questions is yes, it'll save you money, it'll reduce your emissions, it will reduce pollution, it will reduce your maintenance costs and concerns. And it's really a technology that should keep everybody happy, and a very powerful immediate solution, as Craig said, in our journey to all becoming cleaner and healthier and happier, hopefully.
I find it really interesting because the yachting industry used to get away with so many things because they flew under the radar up until 2 years ago. And then the biggest, hottest, brightest spotlight shone down on the yachting industry like they never knew existed. Now there's an image problem because you have a lot of these very wealthy people running around the world on every microphone they possibly could get on, using hashtags when it comes to environment, diversity, including, you name it, whatever hashtag is popular at the moment, they are out there promoting themselves as a leader. So when it comes to the environment, when it comes to these big, massive companies promoting that they are environmentally friendly, that they are sustainable, because these are selling points. You take a look at the general population in the world and you walk down a street, and 9 times out of 10, they're going to pick the company that they're going to do business with because of their stand on the environment and sustainability. So if these companies have sustainability marked on everything that they do, and they're lecturing 99.99% of the population on how they have to look after the environment, and then they're heading out on their massive super yacht, they need to pay attention to that, because they're profiting off everybody else, asking everybody else to look after their emissions. There's a huge outcry and it needs to change.
I think we're very happy to help them take their first step. Our product is, we're not the final solution. We don't help them get rid of all of their, we're not promising to get rid of 100% every problem that they have. But we're a good, solid first step, and we're available right now. They can cut down on the emissions. And as Nawaz was saying, I can take his health aspect a little bit further, because there's things tend to be out of sight, out of mind. And in terms of particulate emissions, it's not the emissions you can see that kill you. It's the ones you can't see. They're the worst for you. If you listen to Professor Rolf Zimmermann from Rostock University, who gives an entire presentation on how bad the small emissions that you can't see are and how they're the very worst for you, because they're small enough that you don't just breathe them deeply into your lungs. They pass through your lungs into your blood, and off they go. They're being blamed. It started off in the UK with a young girl having her cause of death put down as PM2.5 a number of years ago. And since then, they're now finding it a problem for strokes, cardiovascular problems, organ failure. They've even found it in the fetus of unborn children, which is quite a terrifying prospect. And there was another study, and I can never remember exactly which port, it may have been Genoa, where the doctors from the local hospital were plotting where their cancer patients were in the city. And they found a concentration downwind on the prevailing wind from the port. With us helping them cut down their particulates, and if we can come anywhere close to the figures we've got on Yala, that's going to be a tremendous help.
Just kind of tying that and going back to what you were saying, Ria, that there was only in the last few days, you could check this online, it was all over the news, the chief executive of BlackRock. Actually, he was one of the first people a number of years ago to bring in the social governance, the ESG term. And he intended that to be for good purpose. Now, what was in the press a few days ago, he said, look, he's, I don't know exact words, he was ashamed or regrets that. Now, not for bad reason, but the reason he was saying, actually, he meant it's a good thing. This is an element that's got to be bought in, responsibility, environment, social government. However, people have taken that and used it now to look good without action. So it's become a tag, as you've just mentioned. It's a hashtag. We are green. We are. What's gradually happening, I guess, through regulations throughout the world and here, I guess, we're saying, actually, words aren't good enough. You cannot say on your website that you're green, you're not going to get away with greenwashing, frankly, because you need to show with tangible action that you are taking the action here. And this is one thing that Solnox can help with. It's a no-brainer. It's easy. It requires no real capital investment, no modifications. You just do it. It's there. The other thing we haven't mentioned, actually, is we can have a DNA in the fuel, which is like a fingerprint that tags the fuel to prove that Solnox is in there. So if the yachting industry or anybody wants to prove, and there's lots of other benefits to that, which we won't go into now, that we are using Solvox. There's the proof. And Anita, with discussions with her, we've talked about, for example, how we can almost have, I guess, checking stations at ports to say, yes, this fuel has Solvox in it or not. And that could lead to other benefits. But again, what I'm really talking about here is people have talked the talk. They've gotten away with it up till now. There are means to take actual action, and policy and regulation is slowly closing that gap. And let me give you another example, going back to the yachting sector and those who should lead. You remember when the Toyota Prius first came out? Not the prettiest of cars, actually. And I guess it's like electric vehicles here. Mostly, it was the rich that were driving around, not because they were fast or pretty, but because they were trying to make statements of we're going clean and green. And actually, the few, they did lead that, which was led to the attractiveness of green. And that's what the yachting sector can do. Now, show that tangible action. And by and large, as you see, a lot of these people some of these people who own these vessels, they can be big personalities and frankly have businesses. They really got to show that they are taking charge. So we can collectively raise that message, close the gap, and just get it done. Get actual decarbonization and reducing air pollution done. So that's all I had to add. So I'm trying to bridge all the gaps here, really.
And you do it as a true diplomat would. Thank you. I wanted to ask Craig, the one thing that I have noticed in the yachting and super yacht industry is that you seem to have the older generation of captains, and they are really divided. There's not really a gray area when it comes to it, because either they have been in yachting for many years and see the environmental damage and are 100% behind doing everything they possibly can to change the image, to change not just the image, but the actuality of what yachting does to the environment. And then you have another section that just is happy to do the status quo and doesn't really care. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, you're right. There are different people, because I've talked to a lot of engineers, a lot of captains, a lot of management companies. I've spoken to fuel companies, and there's people, and I'm just giving you a broad spread. So I'm not trying to point fingers at anyone, but there's a lot of interest. When I talk to people, I definitely get the attention. And then there's the engine manufacturers are saying, but this is going to damage the engines. And Solvox have covered all those things, because when you add Solvox to the fuel, it doesn't change the spec of the fuel. So if it's diesel in Europe, it's EN590. They've done tests with Bureau Veritas where they've checked the fuel and it falls within spec. You add Solvox to the fuel, they do another test, Bureau Veritas, it doesn't change the specs. Most OEMs say, this engine is designed to use that fuel, EN590, and then it doesn't affect your warranty. A couple of years ago, it was a big pushback. It doesn't comply, and it's just another fuel additive. A lot of those fuel additives have got hydrocarbons in them, and it makes the fuel burn hotter, and they've got metal oxides that damage the engines. Solvox is unique. The patent's been awarded for the USA 2 weeks ago and for Europe about 6 weeks ago. So a patent wouldn't be awarded without it being completely unique. So to continue to answer that question, a lot of these engineers and things like that, they say, oh, this is fantastic. Who else is using it? And you get the bold ones that are just, they're not waiting for the rest of the people to jump on board. And I'm finding it as weeks go by, there's more and more interest and more people saying, can we get this stuff? Let's start using it, because they have issues. And the dam is broken. Things are starting to flow. But before it was like a whole lot of sheep standing at the open gate saying, okay, who's going first? And you got to get one to go, and then the rest will follow. I think anybody serious about trying to make a difference in the industry, and they're looking at all these different technologies, and everyone has got its merits, everyone. But Solvox is something that you can put it in your car, in your truck, in your generator, in your big yellow machine on mines in a big tanker on any combustion engine, and you'll start noticing a difference. And just give it a go. If you feel then after 3 to 6 months it hasn't made a difference, then it's your call. But I'm confident that I would say 95% of people will just say, this is making my life easier. And an engineer, they know. If you're talking about additional lubricity, cleaner filters and that sort of thing, in his head, he's thinking, less headaches for me because it's going to make my engines operate better. They run cooler. It just does amazing stuff. So I hope that answers the question.
Let me ask you a quick. Would it then be fair to say that the owner of the yacht or the yacht management company are not the people to go to, but it's actually the engineers and the captains that really need to be sold on the product who in turn sell it to their owners and yacht management company?
Yeah, because you know, the industry, you get some yachts that run, the owners run the show. And then you get some yachts that are part of a fleet, and then there's a management company that run the show. And so there's no real blueprints. They're all different, the way that they operate. And you got to kind of work your way through to get to the person who is actually the person who you can answer the question and say, yes, let's push the button. So it's quite a difficult journey to get to that point where you can get a yes or a no. Yeah, but I've spoken to some management companies, some fuel companies. There's a lot of interest. They all want to do it. And they say, how can we do this? And we've had discussions, and it's like a Rubik's Cube, but it's got more than four sides. It's a difficult one. But we, with Solnox, we, whatever the requests are, we will make it a bespoke thing to find the right solution for whatever the problem is, whether it's a massive tanker or a container ship or a 30-meter yacht. It's a challenge, but we're getting there.
We're going to provide all of the company's information below this interview when it airs. If anybody has any questions, you'll be able to contact any of this panel through their email or LinkedIn, of course. I want to thank everyone. Jimmy, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Anita and Greg, good to see you again.
Yeah, and likewise. Thanks so much.
And Nawaz, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us.
Thank you very much. I think we have a great opportunity with yachting, actually. And as I said, big exam, it could make a far bigger difference than you would, that we can appreciate, I think. So thank you very much.
We thank you for joining us. You've been watching another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Ria. I have been your host. We'll see you again next time.